This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 193 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 20th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch, whose Chicago Bulls are no longer in the NBA playoffs. How you doing, Marcus?
Thank you for that generous introduction, Jeff. I appreciate that. I'm doing well, fantastic here in sunny Southern California, where, well, a lot of people, I wanted to turn to WordPress Weekly to find out exactly what the heck is going on in the WordPress world. And this is the show in which you can find that.
Yes, we got a lot to cover tonight. We have no guests, so we're just going to sit back and talk about a few things that have been happening during the week. But, geez, what's up with you, man? You sound a little bit under the weather. You've been under the weather for about 3 months now.
Yes. So I don't know, man. Just trying to get through it all. I started with bronchitis, then didn't have bronchitis, then had bronchitis again, and then had an allergic reaction to the bronchitis medicine.
Well, I hope you get better within like 2 weeks, because that's when I'm coming out there for WordCamp Orange County. So please do whatever you can to get healed.
I'm trying my best.
For your sake.
I'm trying my best.
All right, so let's start off with discussing the news of the week. And boy, how about we start off with the bombshell that happened yesterday. Holy smokes, I did not see this coming. But Automattic, the parent company of WordPress.com, WooThemes, and in acquiring WooThemes, they've also acquired everything attached to WooThemes. So that's WooCommerce, that's Sensei, which is their learning management system. They have a Woo framework, sort of like a theme framework. And they've acquired all their customers, their team, which is 55 team members strong, spread out across 16 different countries. So what this does now is it brings up the total of automaticians to 370. And so this is really time big news, because WooCommerce is, you know, depending on the stats that you look at, which for the most part I've seen is the top 1 million via Built With or the Alexa ranking, WooCommerce is number one in terms of market share. The next one up is Magento. And depending on the data sets that you look at, sometimes it's a little bit higher with Magento versus WooCommerce, but they were there. WooCommerce is big. A lot of websites use it. And apparently it was acquired because a lot of customers, both on WordPress.com, have been requesting, you know, an easier way to do e-commerce. And it's, you know, and Matt Mullenweg sort of admitted, who was the acting CEO of Automattic, said that e-commerce is pretty hard. So he really hasn't gotten into the realm of doing it since 2010. And WooCommerce, they've just, Magnus Jepsen and some of the founders over there just made WooCommerce an awesome product over the last about 4 years. I think they launched it in 2011. They initially came out with it, which of course WooThemes, for those who don't, or I should say WooCommerce, for those who don't know, just for history's sake, it started out as JigoShop. So for JigoShop was initially, and I don't know if active development is still ongoing, but it used to be an e-commerce solution for WordPress. WooThemes wanted to get into the e-commerce market with WordPress, but instead of creating something from scratch, they talked to the developers over at JigoShop. They tried to negotiate a deal. I think they tried to offer them around $50K to purchase their plugin. JigoShop said no. So what they ended up doing is WooThemes forked JigoShop, turned it into WooCommerce. Two of the main developers for JigoShop left and joined the WooThemes team. And there's probably very little, if any, traces left of JigoShop or WooCommerce now, but that's how it got started. And here we are with a 30, well, sources, there's no actually concrete sources to say how much the acquisition was. It hasn't been disclosed, but a couple of sources out there have said it's about $30 million. So $30 million for WooThemes, and they get the number one market share e-commerce platform on the web. And just to put that in perspective, Magento, which is the next one up, eBay acquired Magento back in 2011 for $180 million. So you tell me, Marcus, did Automattic get a steal buying WooCommerce?
Definitely.
WooThemes?
Definitely. For that valuation, I think it's well worth it. As somebody who works on not only WooCommerce but also Magento, I can tell you that Magento is basically just a content management system built just for commerce. That's all it does. It doesn't do any of the other stuff. And from a perspective of like optimization or really getting your product to tie in with like extensions or plugins or things like that, it's sort of difficult to work with. In fact, of all of the other commerce platforms out there like Shopify and all of the rest, Magento's the most robust next to WooCommerce. WooCommerce obviously has a lot of different add-ins and extensions and different settings that you can tweak and extend within it as far as the ecosphere. So to see something like this, this is an aerial bombardment here as far as being able to acquire this property and then perhaps expand that into WordPress.com and some of the ecosphere within that. And then perhaps even, I mean, this could go so far as creating even little small where people can do simple e-commerce for their sites. Think of Squarespace or Wix or things like that being able to incorporate e-commerce. Well, that's what this can do as far as, you know, WordPress.com. And, you know, maybe they're going to have some arrangements with merchant processing centers like Authorize.net or something like that, and we'll definitely see what's going on after that, you know, down the road. As you can tell, I'm pretty excited about this. There are few things out there in the acquisition game as far as Automattic that have really piqued my interest, but this one probably more than any, hands down, is the champion as far as great news to come out of 2015 so far.
I've heard from quite a few people that say this is a watershed moment. I mean, you're looking at the top e-commerce platform out there, and instead of standing, I've seen it described, it's instead of standing next to Automattic in terms of, you know, being up there with market share and everything else, now they're under the Automattic umbrella, which to some is kind of sad because now it seems like we have to start from scratch and say, well, who's the next product that's going to have that type of dominance and market share that's going to be able to stand independently outside and grow their company outside of Automattic instead of having them, you know, instead of Automattic being a vacuum, just sucking them up into their ecosystem.
Well, I would say that, and that may be the case for things like WordPress.com, but there's certainly room and choice and freedom to use any plugin that you want in any ecosphere. So EDD is plenty safe. That's like saying stuff like BuddyPress doesn't have a market because there's VaultPress out there. There are completely other options out there, many different options out there as far as backup solutions and things. So e-commerce is just going to be another one of those things. But to me, as we talk about empowering the brand of WordPress, to bring this in the Automattic umbrella and to be able to commit specific developers for the WooCommerce projects now, to be able to expand into not only what they within the English language and things, but also to be able to use, you know, the universal language packs and things like that within WooCommerce, so that now maybe if I use a WooCommerce card selling to China, that automatically gets translated or stuff like that. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, and it's you know, some of the comments we've received on the Tavern article are saying, "Oh, great, EDD is going to go down the tubes, and I'm afraid and I'm scared." And, you know, some of that is feeling like that is justified. But Pippin Williamson, who's the head of ET Digital Download, says, you know, he sort of left a comment saying that, yeah, this definitely changes things. But if they have to move and adapt based on those changes, they're certainly going to do that. This doesn't mean all your competitive platforms like WP eCommerce, Shop, Easy Digital Downloads are all going to go away, or they should fear for their businesses' lives. It's just the landscape and competitive landscape is just going to change a little bit.
Well, that plus if you're Pippin, I look at it. Here's me putting my Pippin hat on right now. And I don't know what kind of hat that would be, but I'm sure it's trendy. the thing is, with WooCommerce being acquired, that puts it under the automatic cycle, the automatic culture type of thing, and maybe it can't move as fast as it used to move as far as making upgrades. Maybe it moves faster. Who knows? That's something for Pippin to evaluate as far as what his competition is doing, because there's still competition, and make a determination as to, well, maybe I can move faster than they can. Maybe I can get ahead of the curve faster than they can because I'm not so bloated as far as my team goes. So there's a lot to be said, all the different chess pieces that are on the board in terms of other developers and producers that are doing e-commerce solutions. But that also for somebody brand new to come to the game and go, wow, well, if there's a $30 million valuation for what WooThemes did, maybe I can make something that's just as vibrant, just as good. You know, that's the nature of this open source game, is that anybody can step up at any time and make the most amazing product we've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's not like people didn't have e-commerce solutions on WordPress.com already. If you had the business account, you could use Shopify, and they had another service on there. I can't quite think of the name of it. And they have those options there. And Matt Mullenweg said that those options will remain, but he would like to add Woo as a third option, be complementary to those things that apparently already work. So at some point, some way, one way or another, WooCommerce is going to end up on WordPress.com. That's pretty much a given. For those of you out there, if you're panicking because you're a WooThemes customer, I wouldn't panic, at least not yet, and probably not for the foreseeable future, because based on everything that's going on here, things are going to change slowly. Apparently, it's going to be business as usual for WooThemes and WooCommerce, at least for the short term, for the next few months. I think that's obviously when we're going to find out more information about things changing or what's going to happen. Plus, you have a 55-person distributed team, which is great for automatic because they sort of – there's not this big shift in culture or work ethic – work method that they have to go through. They've already been distributed. They're sort of just like automatic in many ways because they have teams and their structure are all pretty much alike. But still, there's going to be some time and adjustment period for those people at WooThemes to gel with some teams, and they might switch to a different team and automatic. So we'll have to see how this all shakes out.
But can you fathom this? As you're describing that, and we're talking about two different cultures that are pretty much the same, they probably work within Slack, they have all their own Slack back chat. Isn't that funny that that's sort of going to be the criteria in which you can acquire companies in the 21st century now, and the different transitions? It used to be, oh, we're moving headquarters, we're closing the office, everybody's going to move to, you know, San Diego. We're going to take 2 months. And redo it, and everybody who wants to stay can stay, and having to uproot all these families and all that, versus today, where it's just, all right, yeah, we're going to migrate, move all your Slack channels to ours under these headings, and then we're ready to go.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think of it that way. And WooThemes does have an office down in Cape Town in South Africa. Apparently, that's going to stick around, and now it'll just be like it always has been, except instead of working for WooThemes, well, you'll probably work for WooThemes, but you'll be working for Automatic. It's almost, I mean, like they said, it was one of those situations where because WooThemes is built and is distributed and has the same hierarchy and structure as Automatic, it's very minimal. There's very minimal friction in terms of the acquisition of just moving over and just working for them. I mean, yeah, that's a great point. And your company you work for gets acquired, and yet you don't have to move your office. You just, the next day you're working for the other company and nothing changed except for, you know, the people. You got a whole bunch more coworkers and
right.
Got a whole lot more communication going on. But yeah, that's a great point.
Same name, all that. When we talk to Matt next week, I'm actually going to bring that up to him and ask him if that had any bearing within his decision and maybe what his opinions are of acquisition Slack. You know, that's really what it is, migrations. Maybe we could call them a Slackquisition or something like that.
Yes. And so this was a pretty easy episode name to come up with, but what do you think of WooMatic? Woo themes with automatic, so they call it WooMatic.
The name of it?
Well, that's the name everybody has given it.
Hashtag.
Yeah, it's sort of the popular name, WooMatic, the combination of the two.
I don't know. I'm not going to disgrace either company with butchering the name, creating Frankenstein meme out of it. We all know what they are. But, you know, like I said, I couldn't be prouder of this moment as far as for WordPress. And I know that we're going to look back at this and say that was kind of all changed, you know. And if we can get into mobile integration and further down the chain of mobile buying, and where somebody can just pay with Apple Pay right on WooCommerce, and that's going to be a big, big thing.
So Matt Mullenweg, in the first ever video announcement for the automatic company of Automatic, he said, I quote, "I do believe that the web needs an open, independent, and easy-to-use commerce platform that you can run yourself on your own website," end quote. And he sort of calls it democratizing e-commerce, democratizing selling with WooCommerce. Maybe there will be a day where, you know, this is part of a sort of a transition where as easy, or when you get started with WordPress to the point where you can easily publish content, you know, it would be really cool if somehow e-commerce gets down to being that sort of that level of simplicity, which, you know, I don't want to say WordPress is easy, but once you get the hang of it, I mean, it's pretty easy to publish content. So once you get the hang of WordPress, it would be cool if e-commerce sort of becomes just as easy to do. You just hit publish, you know, configure a couple things, and boom, you just go at it.
I wonder when the family garage sale is going to turn into the family e-commerce sale.
Yeah, just list all your products website on your own site, your garage sale site.
Yeah, just a running total of the stuff I want to get rid of.
So that was this has been Woo Themes was the biggest acquisition to date for Automatic, if you can believe that. I believe that makes them the 17th or 18th. Depending on how you look at it, acquisition since Automatic was founded, and $30 million compared to Magento's 180. Wow, I mean, a lot of people said they got a steal. So, just congrats to Magnus, the rest of the WooThemes crew. Congratulations on your, and they're not leaving; they're sticking around. So that's another key piece of the puzzle, I believe, is this wasn't a buyout. This was an acquisition where they're sticking around. And pretty much all of their employees will have the option of sticking around. And based on what this says, yeah, they're all sticking around. So it's at least for the foreseeable future. So just great news overall. And like I said, I did not see this coming. I don't follow it too closely. I never would have imagined that Automatic would have an interest in WooCommerce and e-commerce. But now that it's happened, it sort of makes sense.
Definitely. It's not an April Fool's joke. It's reality.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh, and by the way, one last thing before we move on to the next topic. When this announcement was made, immediately a number of people said that, oh, great, WooCommerce is going to be shoved into Jetpack, or WooCommerce is going to be a Jetpack module. And it's kind of comical that a lot of people, and I jokingly got involved with it saying some things that, yeah, WooCommerce is going to be a Jetpack module, which is just ludicrous to even think of it. And so many people were sort of talking about this idea that Matt actually had to come out and say, no, it's not going to happen. The lead developer of Jetpacks, George Stefanis, said he cannot envision a scenario where it even makes sense to bring to sort of merge WooCommerce into Jetpack. And I agree, it just doesn't make sense on paper. So nobody has to worry. You're not going to see a WooCommerce Jetpack module show up anytime soon. Now, is it a possibility that maybe a module or two could be added that complements WooCommerce, the standalone plugin? Yeah, sure. I mean, that's definitely a possibility, but the other way around, no way.
meant for the typical, your typical, you know, everybody installation. And when you inject commerce into your site, it's a completely different animal.
Yeah, I agree. A big step was taken today in terms of internationalization, trying to bring more people around the world into the community, and that is WordPress.org is testing international theme and plugin directories. So this is a topic we've been sort of discussing ever since Matt's State of the Word last year at WordCamp San Francisco, where he sort of made the promise that both the both directories would be fully localized, so people would be able to browse them in their native language that their WordPress install has. But today they finally flipped a switch, so they're testing it out. So if you go to, for an example, ro.wordpress.org/themes, that's a Romanian website to browse themes, and just about everything on the page is in the Romanian language with the exception of the actual name of the theme and the theme's description, which they know about that already, the team that is. Eventually, those will be added so that it matches everything else up. But this is really cool, and the same thing is going on with the WordPress plugin directory. So this just makes it a lot easier. It creates the same experience that we've enjoyed, us English users, and it branches that out to all these other different languages in their native language. So it's just a great move. They're testing it out. And if you have you experience any bugs with your particular language, there are a means of contributing back to the project or even helping out with the translations for the names, all the theme names and plugin names that exist in the various directories. And of course, we'll have a link to all of those items in the show notes. So just a really cool big development on the verge of making everything fully internationalized, fully localized for languages.
You know something else? As you were doing that, I kind of got an idea. And I'm going to go back to WooCommerce again. I'm sorry. But I just searched a couple different languages with the term Magento just to see what the markets were. And even searching for Spanish terms with Magento, it's very, very limited as far as, I mean, there are some community module packs, they call them, that are out there, language packs and things. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty, it's their community, even the tutorials that they have in Spanish are very lacking. So this move, in conjunction with internationalization, with WooCommerce and some of the other initiatives that we've got going on involved like this for internationalization, that's going to be very big in the international market. And that could be a motive behind the buy as far as the acquisition goes too.
Oh, yeah.
Because yep. It introduced not only WordPress to all of these other areas around the world and welcome them through the language, and then offer them a commerce solution in their language that they can follow, where other e-commerce platforms are sorely lacking in beyond English. That's big, very big.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was last year, the stat that came out of the State of the Word is that for the first time, non-English downloads of WordPress surpassed English downloads of WordPress, which was, I mean, that's a huge data stat right there. And these tools localizing the theme and plugin directories are just the first start in making it easier for everybody to maintain and have these communities within their native language instead of having to be English only. And of course, I think in the future, we're going to see the WordPress, all the various handbooks, the codex, maybe not so much the codex, definitely the handbooks, the developer resources, other documentation. We're going to see at some point in the future, we're going to see it available in all these different languages. And it's just going to be really cool when that all eventually takes place. And this is just one way that WordPress can help speed things along and make it easier to use for people in their native language instead of having to use English or something else.
I welcome it. Everything that we can do to bridge that gap amongst the other communities out there and the other nations out there, I'm all for it. I can't wait to, you know, go to review some plugins in a completely different language where the guy doesn't even speak English. I've done some of those, but
and the plug,
yeah, something out of the, you know, crawl through like the, I don't know, the Zambian plugin directory. See what's going on over there as far as what they're making from Zambia and Cameroon. I want to know what they're up to. You know, I want to see all these different things, and it's going to happen soon. Probably within 5 years, I bet you.
Oh, a lot sooner than that if Matt has his way.
Well, I'm talking about the repository. You know, that's a little ways off, but you know, one can dream.
So speaking of community translations and stuff, this next topic is a great segue. Sarah Gooding earlier this week published I think just a fantastic post highlighting the Japanese WordPress community, and she titled it Community Translation and WAPU, which is the mascot the Japanese WordPress community came up with. It's sort of taken the WordPress communities in different parts of the world by storm. And she calls it How Japan is Shaping WordPress History. And it's just a fantastic article, a look at how the Japanese community started. It goes all the way back to WordPress 0.72 when they first started to get involved with translations and trying to create a multilingual fork of WordPress. And then eventually the certain hooks or translation items got added to WordPress, so it made it easier to maintain a Japanese version of WordPress. But then you start, she goes on in the story, and you learn that the Japanese WordPress community started through local meetups. So you had these core people, about 3 to 6 different people, creating these various meetups in their area. And it just started with this grassroots effort. And the first WordCamp Tokyo, which was held in 2008, now it only had 60 attendees. WordCamp Tokyo today pulls in 1,200 to 1,400 people, Marcus. And I thought WordCamp San Francisco was big. That's big.
Yeah, that's massive. I love that article that Sarah made, and also was intrigued by WordCrab.
Yeah, I saw a couple other people say WordCrab. Yep, that's got to be a Japanese thing. And apparently, so there's actually a meetup, like you just said, WordCrab, where members from all over Japan gather in Fukui Prefecture, and they combine WordPress sessions with a giant crab party where everyone feasts upon the region's renowned crabs. And the picture here shows one of the members, and there's these gigantic crab legs in front of them. I mean, does that sound like a great event to you, crabs and WordPress?
Sounds like a really great event. Just eggs on the plate. Go
sit down. How about that plugin? How about that security release? You know.
Yeah.
Breaking the leg.
Imagine presenting at that thing and just empty piling up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just a fantastic story. And what was really cool is you started to find out that now they're having these WordPress meetups, but they're not just having meetups now about WordPress. People are coming together. And then they're also doing social things. So they'll go out and they'll hang out at a restaurant, or they'll go to the park, or they'll merge WordPress into doing other social activities. And it becomes this thing where it's not just about WordPress. It's about establishing community and these relationships with people. And it's a really cool thing to read and see that what's going on in Japan with the Japanese WordPress community. And the issue of, and this sort of gets back to talking about community and translations and what have you, is that near the end of the article, we learned that a lot of people in the Japanese community would either like to or have tried to contribute to WordPress. But when you get involved with Track, WordPress is largely dominated by a WordPress core development by English or primarily English-speaking people. And a lot of times what's involved with the text there is cultural references, internal cultural things where if you don't know what they mean, you're really lost. You have no idea what they're talking about. So that's become an issue for the Japanese people and the contributors. And there's also the time factor. They're on the other side of the planet, And most of the time, the developers are doing things, you know, who knows, middle of the afternoon, and it could be 3 a.m. over there in Tokyo. I don't know what the actual time zone difference is, but there's definitely an issue there with time. So I wonder if at some point it would be possible if there's two meetings that can happen, or is there an ambassador that they can put together, or maybe the Japanese communities can create their little WordPress focus groups, and then they each have an ambassador that then communicates with the core team or within the track. I don't know. There's something going on there, but definitely the language barrier, overcoming the language barrier, cultural references, and time zone issue. It was interesting to read how all those things are contributing to a lack of maybe a lot of people that really want to get involved with core development but just can't.
That's true, but that's the nature of the internet and how we work and how any industry works is you've got to cope with the time zones. And you're going to have to tackle a few things late at night in somebody else's time zone. That happens when you have outsourcers from Asia or, you know, the Pacific Rim or places like that. And you just have to deal with it and accommodate. That's just the nature of the game that we play.
They even, some of the, I know the one person she was interviewing here even said that, you know, maybe us saying that you should change the cultural things within the code or you should change things to meet up with us, maybe that's not exactly the right way to do it. So they were actually cognizant of that fact, what you were saying, that maybe if we really, really want to do this, we got to do it sort of their way or the way that's going on, because they're not going to change everything to accommodate us. But I don't know. There's got to be something. There's got to be
I'm sure Dan Griffiths is laughing his head off right now. The guy, you know, the person that we talked to in our last episode, because that's a guy that never sleeps and eats and sleeps and eats and eats and breathes code all day long. And he would be doing 100 tickets a day. It doesn't matter if it's in South Africa or South Wales, right?
Right.
So, hey, look, if you want to contribute and you want to really rock it as far as in WordPress, bust your tail and do whatever you can. I mean, come on, we've been morning doing stuff, contributing to WordPress, Jeff. So
yeah, one too many times.
Right. And it's usually every Friday. But that's, I don't know. I don't think you have to reinvent the entire culture. If anything, this sift out the ones who are really aggressive and really good in those other countries.
So just overall, it was just a great article, and the comments on this article are just as good as part of the conversation that took place after the article. We'll link to that in the show notes. And what, you know, just what do you think of WAPU? It reminds me of a fat Pikachu in a way with the ears. But I think it's really cool how different WordCamps across the world have picked up on the whole WAPU. So there's you are. You can make WAPU into sort of your cultural fit. You can make WAPU fit into your culture, depending on what you do. So there's all, and it just happens to be GPL too. So it's freely available. The graphics, it's just all kinds of cool swag, like on nails, WAPU cakes, WAPU stuffed animals.
Yeah.
WAPU everything.
I think it's cool. I mean, that's their thing, you know? I'd love to get a hat like that. That would be nice to get a WAPU hat.
Yeah, and now you're talking a WAPU hat. So just a great article. And by the way, a shout out. If anybody from Tokyo or Japan, anywhere in Japan, is listening to the show, shout out to you all. Marcus, I'm not sure if you got to meet them, but a whole group of them showed up at WordCamp San Francisco in 2014, and I met them at one of the after parties. And it was a surreal moment. And I talked about this the week after we came back, where they surrounded me and they said, "Oh, are you Jeffro? Hey, well, you know, is this all this big?" They took pictures with me, shook my hands of both the Tavern and WordPress Weekly. So hello out there. If you're listening to us, big shout out to all of Japan. Thanks for listening.
Completely love it that you guys are listening, and hope that it can continue, even though I don't think we're universal. We don't have a universal language pack for the podcast here.
No, we so don't.
You just get to stick with English. But if anybody out there would like to translate and do their own version of WordPress Weekly, where they, it wouldn't that be nice? Just like North Korea, you know how they have just all the regular thing going on, a person that's really dramatic about what the what the language translation is.
Right. We need someone to translate WordPress.
Yeah. Let's start in Spanish. So it's going to be me and Jeff still talking throughout the whole show, except we have a translator that's a little bit louder than us.
Can we be like the WWE where we have like a Spanish announcement table?
I think it'd be great.
Well, unfortunately, every time they do that, it gets smashed. Somebody ends up going through it. So, but yeah, neat idea. So let's lasso. And I'm not talking about the dog, which was Lassie, not Lasso. But Lasso, the front-end editing plugin for WordPress, Nick Haskins has made it available on GitHub. So this is sort of it's sort of strange to me because it's a $129 commercial plugin, but now it's available on GitHub. So you might be asking, well, why in the world would he be giving away or making available for free a $129 plugin? Well, apparently he was motivated by a couple of other commercial plugins that are available on GitHub, and he's doing some A and B testing to figure out if the move will be beneficial to the plugin as well as increasing contributions from developers. And apparently it's going okay. He's on track. He released a financial transparency report, and the company is only about 15 years old, which is a story.am or Aesop Story. So it'd be Aesop Interactive. That's the parent name of the company. And he's on track to double his revenue. So it seems to be working. He's asking for contributions to it. And apparently, I guess what this does, it allows both developers and users, if they come across it, to download it, test it out. I mean, really test it out to the point where you can see if it's going to work out for your project. And then go back to the page and purchase it. I guess this is would be the WordPress equivalent of the honor system. There's a couple of other plugins out there that are working in this fashion. Gravity View. Gravity View is one of them. So, Marcus, what do you think? It seems to be working for a few people. I mean, wouldn't your first instinct be, wow, everybody, when they come across that, they're just going to get it for free and nobody's going to pay them. But apparently the honor system's working for now for them.
This version for free. So who knows what the next one will have, and whether he puts it out on GitHub, that remains to be the same, or, you know, remains to be seen, rather. I think Nick is missing opportunities when it comes to some of the things that he creates as far as being able to be more business this in person. I've told him this on this show, but, you know, I know that they doubled their revenue, but, boy, they could do a heck of a lot better if they were to go after the business presentation style stuff within WordPress than more of the full-blown storytelling, in my opinion.
It's just sort of interesting because I remember right a year or 2 years ago and I said, if the code I'm buying in this plugin is GPL licensed, then what am I really buying? And so it's like,
support
and updates. Well, I go, okay, why don't you give me the plugin and let me be able to download it and access it if that's what I'm really purchasing. And then I'll just give you the money for the updates and support. But it doesn't work like that. You have to pay, you know, the typical model is you pay first and you get the code. Not you get the code, then you pay for updates and support. So it created a heck of a conversation there. So it looks like at least in this sense, this model, some of the commercial plugin developers are being at least a little bit successful, throw it away for free, but having people come back and purchase it through the honor system or for actual updates and support. So obviously, like you just said, you can get this version on GitHub. Can you get the next version on GitHub for free, or do you have to pay for the update? That's something we'd have to look into.
What's different about it than what Windows, you know, Microsoft does with like Windows 10 or the release candidates and things, and they just release it out into the wild. Okay, everybody, go ahead and install Windows 10. Automatically send your bug reports.
Right.
So you're putting it out in the testing grounds, really, and letting other people test pilot the thing for you and give you suggestions and come up with different functionalities that, and, you know, different features that you could add into it. And then you privately do those things on the back end and then release it as your new $129 product that replaces the old one.
So I wish Nick luck in this, but if you want to try out Lasso now, it's available for free. If you want to test it out, see if it'll work for your project, or just want to get a handle on for maybe it's something you heard about and you saw the $129 price tag and you know, just couldn't believe the price, go ahead and download it on GitHub. We'll link to it in the show notes. And give it a test spin, and then you can either do bug reports or you cannot pay for it if that's what you don't want to do, or if it's something you feel it's definitely worth paying for, then give them your $129. It kind of pretty much that simple.
Yep.
So there was a big snafu. This is pretty interesting, where throughout this there was a convoluted, well, I don't want to say convoluted, but there was a long sort of running 2-month-old support thread on the WordPress.org support forums where a gentleman by the name of Derek Munson published a thread. And while he was performing maintenance on several different WordPress sites, he discovered quite a few of them were running outdated versions of WordPress. Some of them were running 3.9 or 4.1. Some of them were running point releases. So he found that kind of odd, so he ended up downloading this plugin called All-in-One WP Security and Firewall, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but it's one of those big-time security plugins that has a scanning feature on it. So he ended up doing a I totally messed that up. He had All-in-One WordPress Security and Firewall, which he thought was blocking the update notifications. That turns out that's not true. That would be a very bad thing for a security plugin to do at all anyways. So he ended up installing WordFence Security. Now, WordFence Security is the one that has the scanning software on it. So what he ended up doing was scanning his site. And what it does is it compares clean WordPress core files that you would get from a fresh downloaded install of WordPress to the files that he had installed on a server for a particular website. And it turns out at least three of the files were different from what you get from core. And it turns out update.php, update core.php, and the upgrader class file all had code inside of it to disable updates for major versions, minor versions, and update notifications. So that's some pretty bad stuff. So apparently what cPanel was doing, if you use the site software add-on for cPanel to install, to do one of those one-click installs for WordPress, it was disabling the ability for WordPress to update itself and for you to be notified of updates because it conflicted with its site software add-on. So they didn't want to have the conflicts in place, and they didn't want to have to do support, realizing, well, you updated WordPress, so now you're out of sync, and now we've got this headache here. So just use our system, cPanel's update system, to get around all that. So George Stefanis, Jetpack's lead developer, got in touch with cPanel because obviously that didn't seem right. It doesn't seem right to me, but talked to them at length, and thankfully the cPanel representatives were very responsive, ended up giving a detailed explanation as to why things are the way they are, and it looks like they're receptive to change once they figure out how to allow people to natively use the native WordPress update system instead of their own if they choose to, and try and get rid of that area where conflicts may occur. I understand why people use the one-click installer, because it's a whole lot easier than having to create a database username with the right privileges and then create the database. I mean, there's a lot of steps there, a lot of technical steps there that act as high roadblocks that prevent a lot of people from even getting to the point of installing and using WordPress. So I can see where the one-click installers really come in handy. But what they shouldn't be doing is disabling the ability to auto-update within WordPress. Now, cPanel is, I guess, relatively quick on sending out their own updates or their own patches for software that isn't available with their site software add-on. But regardless, I still think if that the native WordPress system should override that of cPanel, just because I think it's a lot faster and it gives people manual control instead of having to wait who knows how long for cPanel to push out that update.
Well, it's interesting to me that cPanel would have the audacity to go, yeah, we need to throttle what we're doing here with WordPress. Not just leave WordPress alone and understand that we've done more development than they've ever done within cPanel. They want to have some sort of control mechanism, I guess, as far as whether they allow someone to actually turn that native feature on within WordPress. I don't think that's right. It's kind of like one software.
Now, apparently, they have things in place where the server administrator should be notified immediately of certain updates. cPanel is pretty quick with them. However, Derek Munson on his server did not get those updates, so they believe there's some sort of misconfiguration with cPanel or with the add-on on his server, and they said they'd be in touch with him. Hopefully we find out something more, what goes on here within the future. But basically what we really need is for cPanel to get out, you know, install WordPress easily, but then get out of the way. You know, say, hey, okay, we helped you get on board. Now we're going to step away and just use WordPress as you would use it as if you installed it manually. That's what it should be. That's what should really be going on here, not changing things based on, you know, avoiding conflicts between the two update systems, between cPanel and WordPress.
Well, here's our letter to the CEO of cPanel. Ready? Dear CEO, okay, we got it. We know what you're doing. We're hip to it. But here's what needs to happen. Instead of you saying, let's develop a way in which we can toggle if someone wants to do this auto update or not, or we have to come up with a new system. No, what you need is an end user license agreement that WordPress, and check here to make sure that you're cool with taking over WordPress on your own. Yes, no. Done. Okay, so it's just a little pop-up, a little pop-under, whatever you want to call it, and you just click yes before you install it, and it installs, and then you leave WordPress the heck alone. How about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I guess, you know, whatever works, whatever allows the site administrator to keep their site updated without having to rely on a third party. That's the issue I'm most concerned with.
Absolutely, they'll get that all straightened out.
So, I mean, at least they're very receptive. They're very responsive. They're working with George, and they're going to look into changing their code if they can do it. At least they didn't just blow them off. They were actually wanted to be part of the conversation. So that's actually great to see. I'm pretty much encouraged to see that, and hopefully things will change for the better sooner rather than later. And yeah, we could continue to tell people that it's safe to use the one-click installer, which, you know, like I said, you know, there's a reason I'm glad they exist, because the whole, that's the part of installing WordPress that really hangs up a lot of people. So I'm glad that they exist, but still, you know, they have to allow people to update. So last week, May 14th, so we're going about last Thursday, last weekend, LoopConf took place. Well, no, wait a minute. I think it was the weekend before that. But anyways, LoopConf, the big-time developer conference that happened in Las Vegas. I didn't have a chance to watch any of the free live stream, but I've heard it was really well done, very high quality. And apparently, based on all of the feedback I read on Twitter, it was people got what they came to get plus more for their couple $100 ticket. So I was very encouraged to read that. However, if you missed any of the sessions, you can now find them on YouTube for free on the LoopConf YouTube account. So just in case you missed anything there and you missed the live stream, they're all for you right there on YouTube. And the YouTube account is actually called LoopConf. So
what's that, people? There's a lot of content there to consume, and it's really kind of cutting edge stuff that's in the here and now. If you're interested in, you know, listening to that or watching that, I would do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and this conference was one of the first to be sort of, I mean, I'm talking about hardcore. Well, I would consider hardcore developer topics with acronyms everywhere, talking about APIs and bugs and, you know, getting down to the lower level stuff that we sort of talked about last week with hardware with Dan Griffiths. And it was just, you know, a lot of times these developers, they can't talk about that stuff at WordCamps because of the attendees are, it's not really the right place to have that. I mean, you have a developer track, but still, you really can't get into the nitty-gritty of things. So this allowed everybody sort of knew what they were getting into, and if you want to check out or really up your developer game in WordPress or just development in general, definitely go take a look at that free content. That content was worth hundreds of dollars, or to some people it's priceless, and you can go watch it at the leisure of your home, have your own drinks for free right there in your living room or on your MacBook. So definitely take full advantage of that. And I think that there's definitely, based on this and its success and from what I've heard, there's probably going to be a LoopConf 2 next year. I would, if there wasn't.
I'd like to go to that and perhaps even speak at that one next year.
So congratulations to Ryan and everybody else involved with putting that event together. It was really well done.
But that's, I can't wait to check out those videos. That's going to be great.
Yeah, they're all there for you. So that's going to do it for this week's news. Had a lot of stuff to talk about. But now hopefully out there you're all caught up. And Marcus, why don't you give us your plug-in picks of the week?
Okay, well, Jeff, I'm going to try and do something kind of new with the plug-in picks of the week. I want to highlight the first plug-in out of the gate is generally going to be someone who's developed a plug-in for the very first time. So I want solo efforts. I want recent release solo efforts so that we can acknowledge these developers as they release these plugins and encourage them to continue developing plugins instead of just having a one-hit wonder.
I actually have a plugin or a developer in mind that just came out this week that would match that perfectly.
Send it my way. I'll take a look at it and include it in the list. But that's what I want to do here on WordPress Weekly. As often as people, and this first one is from someone named